that now we've got to make a choice. We've got to make a decision. And how are we going to make that decision? How are we going to face it? How will we react to the circumstances that we find ourselves? Well, let me tell you, I don't know about you, but I know about me. Well, I do know about you. But in this regard, we're all going to face uncertainties that are coming up, whether it's in this next week or whether it's in this next month or this next year. We cannot look ahead and see clearly what's in advance. And so there's a certain amount of fear of what lies ahead of us because it's unknown. And yet we are to trust the Lord. There's so much in life that the devil would love to keep us in the bondage of fear. And we have got to realize that he wants us to live in the freedom of that faith. And I pray that that would be your case today. We're looking here at Joshua 24. And Joshua is at the end of his life. He's having been the leader of the children of Israel since the death of Moses. And God has used him to bring the people over into the promised land, the conquest of Canaan, it's called. He affirmed here in Joshua 24 his particular faith and choice that he had made in the Lord and following him. As we read there in verse 14, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood before the flood came, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord," the word evil means not to your advantage. If it's not pleasurable to you, if you don't think it's the right thing for you to do to serve the Lord, then he says, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." Who are you going to serve? "Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood," those gods that they served before the flood came and killed them all, "or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell," that was where they lived. We have our neighbors and friends and co-workers out here, and they, many of them serve many different gods. They may not say, "I worship this god," and name them as their god, but they worship pleasure, or they worship whatever they spend their time, their effort, their money to pursue. That's their god. And so you've got a choice. Are you going to choose one of these gods that's out here amongst us with our neighbors and our friends? But Joshua said, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We're going to serve the Lord. What a truth that he made. A simple yet profound statement of choice. And in this statement of choice, I want us to look and consider several things today for Father's Day. I've entitled it A Father's Choice. Father, I pray that you would allow us to see the truth of your word today. Help us not to be distracted with anything nor any one of us, but that we would listen carefully and prayerfully to what you have for us. Lord, none of us are perfect as men, women, children. None of us are perfect as fathers. Father, I pray that we would be pursuing excellence, pursuing that perfection as our goal. Lord, that we would be the best that we possibly can by your help, with your strength and guidance. Guide us today and encourage our hearts today, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want us to see in this personal choice, or in this choice that he had, it was a choice that he made personally, a personal choice to make. He said, "As for me," and that's where each one of us are today. As for you right now, what's going to be your choice? What kind of a person are you going to be walking out of this auditorium today? You know, you can say, "Well, you know, people know me as, I've always been such and such." Well, today you have a choice to make that you can change that. You can be different than what you've always been. You can be what God wants you to be, and you can receive the blessings that go along with that in your life, in your family. As for me, it was a personal choice. It was not pressured. He was not embarrassed into making that choice. If he didn't, God was going to point him out, etc. But he was coming to the Lord his way that God says, by choice, by his freedom. I sang to you a couple weeks ago the Whippoorwill song. It speaks of it exactly that way. I hold the waters in my mighty hands, spread out the heavens with a single span, make all creation tremble at my voice, but my own children come to me by choice. You know, God is not forcing anybody to come to him, but he is offering for everybody to come to him freely. It's God's will that everyone gets saved, trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. He's not willing that anybody refuse that and die and have to go to hell and the lake of fire for all eternity. But there will be judgment for sin. And you can either choose to die and receive that judgment yourself in a place called hell and eventually the lake of fire, or you can choose to let Jesus Christ be your substitute who has experienced the judgment of God upon that sin. That's your choice. And God says, I don't want you to perish. That's why I sent my son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, should not die and have to go to hell, but could have an everlasting life. And so God has made that as a possibility. He's not willing that any should perish. He wants us to come to him by choice, both for salvation initially, the joy of heaven compared to the judgment of hell, but also he wants us to come to him by choice as his children once we're saved. He tells us what he wants us to be like. He tells us how we are to serve him. He tells us how we're to worship him. He tells us how we're to be faithful. He tells us all of these things that he desires and what he holds before us. But he doesn't make us do it. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't misunderstand. There are consequences if we don't. Just like with a parent, as I take myself as a parent. when my children were living at home, I had rules, I had responsibilities for them, etc., that went on. And if they missed or chose not to, that was their choice, but there were consequences to the not-tos. There were things that happened when that choice was made. And so it is with God. We have responsibilities to choose to obey him and to follow him and to live for him. And in that obedience is great pleasure, is great blessing and benefit. But when we choose not to, then there's also God's chastisement. And so God says, I want you to come to me by choice. Even if I have to spank you, if I have to bring in some kind of physical chastisement into your life, I want it to lead you to turn around and say, Lord, I was wrong. I confess my sin. And God says, I forgive you. It's forgiven. You're restored. And the blessings then line up to come again. And God is willing to do that, but he comes and wants us to come to him by choice. Joshua had made his choice. This meant that he would be standing for the Lord and not turning back. You've heard the song, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. And again, I think it reminds us that we ought to be the person that God wants us to be. So I ask you today, Father, what kind of a man do you want to be? One that hears, well done, thou good and faithful servant, or one that God is displeased with. Mom, same question. Young people, same question. Young lady, what kind of a woman do you want to grow up to be? Young man, what kind of a man do you want to grow up to be? You have choices before you constantly. And the choices that you make send you down a path in a direction. And so I encourage you to make the right choices. This was a personal choice. This is, as for me, this is my personal choice. Even though it was a public stand, people knew what his choice was. And people should know what your choice is. But it was a personal choice that he had to make. Every one of us make it. Secondly, it was a parental choice. He says, as for me and my house. It wasn't just a choice for himself, but he was choosing for all that was under his authority, under his responsibility. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says that every Christian will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to give an account of ourselves before the Lord. And we're going to give an account of everything that he has put under our authority, under our control. We're called stewards of that. Everything that God has given us. Do you know that I am a steward of you? That God has given each one of you under my authority, under my control in that sense. Now, I don't control you, but I'm going to give an account about you. And the scripture says, you better make sure it's a good account so it don't turn out good bad for you. But at the same point, I'm responsible to be the pastor that I should be to you as an individual, to tell you and preach to you the truth of God's word, to make it where you have the opportunity, every opportunity I can give you, to make the right, wise choices in how you live for the Lord. That's a responsibility I have as a pastor. I'm going to give an account to the Lord one day, not just for my personal stand, but my pastoral stand. You're going to give an account, Dad, not only for your personal stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, but you're going to give an account for the family that's under you. That spouse of yours, your wife, your children. God has given you a position of authority in the home as a spiritual authority. And you have that responsibility to give an account. It reveals a practical principle to us. If I own it, I'm responsible. I'm liable for it. Now, own it. I don't like that word per se, because I don't own anything. Everything that I've got belongs to the Lord. My truck. It's God's truck. Somebody said the other day, hey, can I borrow your truck? And I said, it ain't my truck, it's God's truck. If you need God's truck, I'll let you have God's truck. You better take care of God's truck. I'll fill up gas when you come back here. But it's not mine, it's not yours. These are the things that God has given us. And we are responsible to be stewards of them. And so it's imperative that we recognize that the family that God has given us is our responsibility. We have a responsibility then to take care of them and to provide for them, not just the physical needs in this world, but the spiritual needs as well. If I own it, I'm liable for it as a steward there. You know that, I'm sure this is not true of most of us out here. Most of us out here don't have sidewalks in front of our house because of where we live. I used to have a sidewalk in Pennsylvania when I lived there. But I understand that if you have a sidewalk in front of your house, even though it's on the city's right-of-way, even though you didn't lay that sidewalk there, they did, if it snows and you don't shovel your walk and somebody slips up out there, they can sue you. Because it's on your property. You're responsible. Dad, your family, you're responsible. And we are liable for that God has made us stewards of. One commentator made this statement. He says, when parents take the helm and steer their children in the ways of God, disciplining them when they drift, they are exhibiting a genuine love for their families. Because love makes the hard choices. Love is willing to be misunderstood in the short term. Love sees serving God as an indispensable choice of life. Dad, do you take that seriously? You take the responsibility of being the dad as one that sometimes you have to make the tough call. You have to make the hard choice. You have to be the one that the kids get mad at because you have to say no sometimes. Don't be the dad that says, hey, I just want to be buddy-buddy, you know. Mom, you tell them no. No. We need to take the position that God has given us. We need to make the hard choices sometimes. That's what love is all about. You're responsible for you, Dad, and you're responsible for your home, as for me and my house. Not only do we see a personal choice and a parental choice, but we see a purposeful choice. He says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. A choice here is, first of all, an action. This is what we're going to do. It's a practice, not just a principle. It's faith and works. It's creed and deed, if you will. It's not just saying one thing, but it's actually following through and being obedient in action. We've talked about this quite a few times here recently as well. Too many of us and the choices that we have come with escape clauses. Have you ever heard anybody that talks like this? I want to serve the Lord, but I will serve God unless, I will serve God until, well, it should be, I'll serve God, period. But too often, we have excuses, escape clauses, reasons that if this comes up, you know, I'm not going to be at church. If this comes up, I'm not going to be in my class to teach. If this comes up, I'm not going to be available for this. If this comes, and it doesn't take much to come up before we decide we're not going to be there. We're not going to be faithful. No excuses, no reservations. But we're to serve the Lord with a whole heart, which brings us to the attitude. Not only is it a purposeful choice of action, but it's a purposeful choice of attitude. In verse 14, remember what Joshua said? Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. The word sincerity means complete, whole, or entire. It is actually translated other places in the Old Testament as without blemish. Without spot. What does it mean? Well, we know that those talking about the sacrificial animals were to be taken, and they would look at the entire animal. The whole animal was not to have any blemish or spot on it. It was to be without any damage. In other words, for that illustration, you weren't to give God, here's this guy that broke his leg, he ain't going to live too long, let me give that to the Lord. That's not the mentality. You give him the best that you got. But this is the translation of it here. It was the whole animal there. So it's talking about the whole, the entire, the complete sincerity, wholehearted service unto the Lord is the idea. And in truth, the word means reliability. It comes into the idea of faithfulness in our service of the Lord. Not just an external show of what's going on in our life, but an internal, genuine commitment to the Lord. Because what's true and genuine, if it is on the inside, then the outside is going to be that way. That's why Jesus said to the Pharisees when he gave them the warnings and says, woe unto you Pharisees, hypocrites. He says, first, cleanse the inside of the pot that the outside may be cleansed also. First, get the heart right, get the inside right, then the outside will change. And the same thing is true whether we're looking at salvation. We don't come to God and say, Lord, when I get my life cleaned up, then I'm going to come to you. No. We come to God and we say, Lord, here I am, just as I am. And he saves us and changes the inside. And then he begins to work on the outside to change. That's the way God works. As for believers,
We are to open up to the Lord and say, Lord, change my heart. I don't want to be a hypocrite. And that's what a hypocrite is. One that comes in, looks all smiley and everything on Sunday. But because their heart's not right, they get unguarded somewhere and out the mouth or the action comes the reality of what's there. That's not what we should be as believers. We need the inside. And so here is that attitude. Wholehearted service with reliability, faithfulness, completely letting the inside be genuine in our commitment to the Lord. Not a half-hearted effort, but with all that we have. Not when it's just convenient are we to serve the Lord, but even when we have to go out of the way, out of our way, to serve Him. It's so important. We are to serve God purposefully with determination and resolve. And then last, choose you this day whom you will serve. He says, you make the choice. It's a time-sensitive choice. Choose you this day. You know that God has never promised us tomorrow. Not a one of us can say, I know that I'll have an opportunity next Sunday to get saved. No, you don't. I hope you would have. I hope that you can be here next Sunday. I hope I can be here this next Sunday, but I don't know that. None of us can. God never promises tomorrow. He promises today. And He speaks to our hearts today. He says, I lay before you a choice today. Therefore, make your choice this day. What are you going to be? Some of you right now may be sitting here and saying, man, it's Father's Day. I came. I'm here. But I'm ready to get on to the festivities. I don't want to listen to this anymore. Is that what it is? You fighting what God is tugging on your heart about? Or would you admit it? It's a time-sensitive choice. Choose you this day. It's been said that this day is the only day I have. And then, therefore, it's the only day that God promises me. It's a specific directional choice. Choose you this day whom you will serve. There are only two choices that I've talked to you before. Either serving self or serving God. They're the only real reasons, only two choices. Ken Collier said it as I quoted before, there's just two choices on the shelf, pleasing God or pleasing self. You have two choices. I'm either going to please myself or I'm going to please God. I'm going to choose to satisfy myself or I'm going to choose to do things to satisfy God, to please Him. What's it going to be? You cannot choose and serve both. Jesus made it clear, Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You know what the word despise means? It means to disregard, to discount as unimportant. To call it non-essential. To use the word that's been used a lot this past year. Let me ask you something. Is God non-essential to you? We've been told by the CDC, we've been told by some doctors, we've been told by some friends, we've been told by people that really don't care for God to begin with. They said, look, I know you got to go to Walmart and get your food. I know you got to go out to a restaurant. I mean, you deserve that every once in a while. And I know you need, but going to church, that's not essential. Worshiping God, that's not essential. So don't go to church. Stay away from there. I mean, you might get sick if you go to church. Really?
there's a greater chance I might get sick going to Walmart than I am when coming to church. I know how this church is cleaned. But it's a choice that we have. We can't serve God and, so we've got to say, am I going to serve God or myself? Am I going to listen to others and choose to please myself, or am I going to listen to what God says and choose to do things that please Him? Simple, simple choice. In the whippoorwill song that I mentioned, it says, my own children come to me by choice. So right now it's time to choose. And it's an important choice. There's a poem that I came across. I like it because it spoke to my heart. It says, to get his goodnight kiss, he stood beside my chair one night and raised an eager face to me, a face with love alight. As I gathered in my arms the son God gave to me, I thanked the lad for being good and hoped he'd always be. His little arms crept round my neck, and then I heard him say, four simple words I shan't forget, four words that made me pray. They turned a mirror on my soul, on secrets no one knew. They startled me, I hear them yet. He said, I'll be like you. Wow. Dad, little eyes are watching. Some of you dads out there, big eyes are watching. What do they see? I think it's sometimes when we look and we evaluate and we say, you know, I have not been the dad that I should be. If we want to be that dad, we first need to have a talk with the Lord and tell him where we messed up. That's called confessing our sin. And ask him to help us to be that dad from here out. Then we need to have a conversation with our wife and with our children. And you say, look, I need to be honest with you. I have not been the dad that I should be when it comes to leading you spiritually. But the Lord has spoken to my heart. And I know I'm not going to be perfect, but I want to try, with God's help, to be the man that I should be as a husband and as a father. That's the way it's done. If we will just humble ourselves and say, pray for me. I want to please the Lord. Will that be your choice today? Every head bowed, please, right now. No one looking around. It's an important choice, Dad. First of all, have you chosen the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you know for sure that if this was your last day, that you would be in God's presence in heaven this evening? Have you chosen Jesus Christ as your Savior? If not, why not right now, today? I can have someone take you aside here in just a moment and show you how to make that choice. We're ending the service a little early. That gives you plenty of time, no rush, to the next event. Dad, if you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, have you chosen to serve the Lord in action and in attitude? Has that been your heart desire? It's a personal choice. It's a parental choice. It's a purposeful choice, and it's a pressing choice. Choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Father, I pray that as we have listened today carefully and that you have spoken to our hearts and minds, I pray we have listened. I pray that we have evaluated where we are, and Lord, that you have helped us to see and understand where you see us and how you see us. And Lord, I pray that we would seek and have a desire to leave out of here today with a greater renewed commitment to be the men, the fathers, the husbands that we should be, the friends, the co-workers that we should be, so that one day we could hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Lord, none of us are going to be perfect. Father, help us to be pressing toward that mark. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.